is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying on planet Earth because there's lots of commercial space activity with Bob Zimmerman. This is Happy Birthday, Bob Zimmerman Month. Your donations and subscriptions are welcome because Bob is telling the story of the convergence of the big space successes of the 20th century into commercial space successes of the 21st century. And we begin with a very positive development for big space. Bob, a very good evening to you. NASA insiders have decided to see the way to commercial space. How are they going to get there? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. First of all, I'm in the second week of my February fundraising drive for Behind the Black. And once again, your listeners have poured their hearts out to support my work. And I have to thank them greatly. I really appreciate the support. And, of course, there's still another 2.5 weeks to go in the campaign. So if people haven't done so, please consider helping me pay my bills and keep doing this kind of cool stuff. So, yes, of several NASA former high-level managers have formed a commercial company to launch satellites that will operate in lunar orbit or lunar space. And those will be unmanned robots, platforms and robots. And they're being designed as service satellites for NASA's manned Artemis program. One of the guys, Steve Jurczyk, was a NASA manager for 30 years, and he finished his career before retiring by acting as NASA administrator for the first 3 months of the Biden administration. He was acting administrator before they nominated and confirmed Bill Nelson. And so these guys have been around for a long time. They know how NASA works, and they also recognize that NASA is switching from building things itself to hiring private companies to do this. And they've recognized the fact that in the future, NASA really isn't going to be building anything. So, but this gives them an opportunity going into the private sector to use their knowledge from their years at NASA to make a private company function well and make money servicing NASA and others in lunar space. So this would be a platform with two components. One would be a spacecraft that acts as a platform for these satellites that would plug and play into that platform, robots that could do then work for the Artemis program, for the Lunar Gateway station that's going to be orbiting, that's going to orbit the moon. And so that's the idea, and they're jumping on this private public partnership that NASA is going into that I recommended in Capitalism in Space, and it's really a good thing, John.
Yes, commercial space finds another partner, which is former NASA chiefs now joining the large and growing global community for launchers, boosters, for satellite cubes, CubeSats, and for big satellites, these would be pretty big ones in lunar orbit. So we move from commercial space to commercial space. What is the space tug, Bob?
Well, all right, the company is called Launcher, and they're one of a whole bunch. It's probably about, I'd say somewhere around six different companies trying to do this. And these are not companies launching satellites, per se. What they're launching are space tugs. These are small satellites designed to attach to a satellite, usually CubeSats, small ones, and function as the tug to move that satellite from point A to B. Most CubeSats usually contain propulsion equipment. They're very small. And when they launch as secondary payloads on a rocket like a Falcon 9, SpaceX Falcon 9, they don't really have much control over what their orbit's going to be. The primary payload determines what the orbit will be. Well, what these space tugs do is give CubeSats give them an upper stage, a secondary upper stage attached to the satellite, whose sole job is to get the satellite into the orbit the customer wants for the satellite. And so Launcher has now signed a deal with SpaceX to launch its first four test flights of its orbiter tug on the Falcon 9. Now, they're going to do the first one later this year and then three next year. And these are going to be test flights, but they'll also, I think, by the second or third, they'll be also going up with satellites attached. And I think what they're doing is they're targeting, they're shaping their specific tug to service those CubeSats that go up on Falcon 9. There's going to be a lot of satellites being launched, small sats being launched on a Falcon 9, and each one of them is kind of condemned to go into almost the similar orbits. And what Launcher is doing is offering these CubeSats the chance to go up on a Falcon 9, but have a chance to go into a different orbit, to the orbit that they want. And so they're part of this, and they're pushing it, and there, once again, there are about a half a dozen of these companies working on a variety of tugs designed to either move satellites from point A to B, or to remove space junk, or any number of purposes in orbit, John, and this is just another one of them.
Bob, a really cool name, ICEYE. What is it?
ICEYE is a private commercial satellite company that launches Earth observation satellites. These are the kind of things that look for resources on the ground, minerals, water, all kinds of things. They use spectroscopy to determine what these things here are on the ground. And so ICEYE has raised $136 million in private investment capital to launch more of its satellites. It has a few satellites. It has launched 7 so far, and it plans to launch another 11 this year. And these are small sats. These are not big satellites, but they're modern technology, and they're really good. And so ICEYE is getting this money because NASA and NOAA are beginning, and the military are beginning to realize that they should be not building these satellites, that if they want to have this kind of stuff, they should depend on private enterprise. And on top of that, private enterprise, Earth-based companies that want, like mining companies, want a facility in orbit that can tell them where to look for resources. And so there's money to be made providing data to private commercial companies on the ground looking for information, minerals and so forth. That's what ICEYE is.
I'm attracted to ICEYE, Bob, because of a little detail here. They're going to join with 2 big insurance companies to do catastrophe monitoring. What a good idea to do that commercially and not worry about governments having to pay for it.
Yes, exactly right. I mean, a lot of the today, when there's a news story about a catastrophe and then you look at an orbital image that's been taken of that disaster, the orbital image is not on a government satellite anymore. Almost all of them are coming from private satellites that are in orbit now designed to take high-resolution images or resource monitoring. And that's what ICEYE is taking advantage of. It's great, great news.
All right. Now, I always understood that when you count down for a rocket launch, 10, 9, 8, 7, when you get to zero, it's taken off. This one is a puzzle. How did Astra not take off at T-minus zero, Bob?
Well, this has been in the past, long past, back in the 60s, there was really one famous example of a launch abort at T-minus zero. That was a manned mission during the Gemini program. And for NASA in those days, it was the very early days, that meant a stand down for at least a few days at minimum, maybe a week or so. In this case, it was they managed to get it going a few days later, but that was really unusual. SpaceX, beginning with its Falcon 1 rocket, began to show that you could not only have a launch abort at T-minus zero, but you could recycle the rocket and launch within an hour later. And so Astra is a new startup rocket company, small sat rocket company. They've managed to complete one orbital launch where they put a dummy satellite into orbit to demonstrate they could do it. And this week, they were attempting to do their first commercial launch, launching 4 CubeSats into orbit, 3 university satellites and 1 from JPL, all CubeSats, all small sats, all designed actually as training satellites by students, essentially. So they attempted to launch. They actually got down to about 30 seconds, and they had a hold, and then they had to recycle the thing. And then they tried to launch again, a second time, and they got to T-minus zero, and the engines shut down. And the rocket's computers shut the thing down. And what they have told us, all they've told us is that they had a problem, a telemetry issue. They haven't said anything else more. But they, whatever it was, they're rescheduling and they're going to try to launch again later this week, February 10th. And they are attempting, to get into this launching business to put up these CubeSats. Rather than needing a space tug, you use a small rocket, and it puts your CubeSat into the exact orbit you want it to be. And so that's what they're aiming for, and that's what happened. I've got the embed of their launch countdown to T-0 embedded on my website if you want to watch. It's kind of cool.
Lockheed Martin wins a NASA contract of some weight for a rocket to go to Mars. What is the mission, Bob?
Well, the rocket, Perseverance is on Mars in zero crater, and it's collecting samples. It's not really analyzing those samples in any way like Curiosity does. What instead it's doing is it's caching those samples for the eventual grab and return to Earth. And so NASA and the European Space Agency have been putting together a project steadily to carry out that sample grab and return. It's going to be really complicated. And so what NASA has done is it has now awarded Lockheed Martin the contract to build the small rocket that will lift the samples up into Mars orbit, get it off the surface of the planet. After a lander lands and a little fetch rover that Europe is building goes and gets the samples and brings them back to the lander and puts them in this Lockheed Martin rocket, the rocket will take off and rendezvous with a orbiting satellite that will have a capture and return capsule on it. And that'll capture the sample from the rocket and bring it back to Earth. It's an extremely complicated operation here. So Lockheed Martin has got $194 million contract. NASA and ESA hope to have this sample return happen as early as 26. Don't believe it. I predict it's going to be at least 5 years after that, maybe even a decade. It's a very complicated project, very expensive. There's a lot of uncertainties in it right now. I would not be surprised at all if this ends up to be a very long, big, expensive.
Bob, hiring Lockheed Martin, wonderful. It's a very successful company, but can't SpaceX do this?
Well, you see, that's the question I have about this Lockheed Martin contract. Lockheed Martin has not since it sold off to ULA its rockets. Lockheed Martin doesn't build rockets. Even if it's a small rocket to go to the liftoff from Mars, which has one-third the gravity, Lockheed Martin doesn't build rockets. So to give them a contract to build this Ascent rocket is kind of puzzling to me. And that's one of the reasons I have certain skepticism about the ability of this project to happen on time. It would make, you know, they haven't announced who's going to build the lander yet. It would make sense to me that the lander should be built by someone like SpaceX because they know how to land very precisely, and it's going to require some precision to get down and land very close to where Perseverance has cached these samples. And so they haven't announced that yet, and that's what I'd expect. The launching, once again, it's a little puzzling, Lockheed Martin.
Finally, a rocket in the Roscosmos program, but it's an unusual rocket. It's a Soyuz rocket. Whose is it, Bob?
Well, Dmitry Rogozin, the head of Roscosmos, which runs all of Russia's entire space industry, they don't have private companies, everything's controlled by the government. The head of that, Dmitry Rogozin, it appears that since he took over Roscosmos in 2018, his salary has risen from $100K per year to $1.3 million in 2020. We don't know what the 21 salary was, but it was probably that or higher. And what I note on Behind the Black is this reminds me of the Roman Empire. Caesars would appoint governors to run the various outlying provinces like the Middle East or England or France. And what those governors would do is they would use their time as governor on the outskirts to skim off for themselves as much cash from tax revenues as possible that they could get away with. And then they would, after a short time, and they've made a lot of cash corruptly, they would then retire back to Rome to live the good life. The result of that, of course, is the governance in those provinces would suffer and to the point that eventually the Roman Empire fell. Well, Russia is very similar to this here. This happens all the time. They're big managers in these companies, in these government-run companies. They make a lot of money, and if they and eventually they retire or get fired or partially prosecuted. And Rogozin seems to be doing the same thing at Roscosmos, which also suggests to me that, one, he might not be there that much longer. He's expecting not to be there that much longer. He's either going to retire or get kicked out. And it also suggests that many of the projects to come up with new rockets and spacecraft and space stations, we should have a lot of skepticism about that because there's a lot of The focus here is not necessarily on building things, but on making personal cash, John.
Bob Zimmerman, it is Happy Birthday Bob Zimmerman Month. Your subscriptions and donations are extremely appreciated. We're heading to Big Astronomy next and a dispute over satellite constellation. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.